2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ, or into the patience of Christ, or your version may have the steadfastness of Christ. On New Year's Eve, as we saw the New Year in, I spoke a little bit from verse 5, really about how the Lord wants to direct our hearts as individuals into the love of God and into this patience of Christ. But I want to look at the surrounding verses this morning, as well as touch on verse 5, perhaps in a little bit more detail, because I think there's something here for us as we come to a new year that the Lord may have to say to us. Please, as I'm sharing these things, just be sensitive to what really the Spirit of God witnesses with you, is not only for you, but for us as a church. And there will be opportunity after I've spoken for us to commit ourselves into the Lord's hands for this year, and really to give you opportunity as well to respond to the word this morning, but also to commit yourself and to lead us in prayer for the church at the start of this year. The background of this second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians is the return of the Lord, and the first two chapters are speaking much about the end of the age and what will happen in the return in the run-up to the return of the Lord. And so, really, in these verses, we have something of how we should live as believers in the light of that. And therefore, what God wants for us as a church and individuals as we live at the end of history. Excuse me. The first thing he prays for, and really this shares that these verses give us something of the heart of the Lord for us, I believe. First of all, Paul prays. Paul says, please pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. The first thing that I want to suggest to you that the Lord wants for us this year is that the word of the Lord would run freely. That's literally what it means. Your version may have that. The New American Standard says that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly. So really what the Lord is saying is that he wants his word in our hearts to come to us and not to be hindered in any way. Friends, this is vital as we listen to the word of God Sunday by Sunday, that we will not hinder the Lord's word being effective in our hearts. I hope you want to pray that for yourself this year. But essentially, that's not really what it's saying. It's really saying that the word of the Lord will go from these Thessalonians out to others. Sorry, Paul is praying here that the Lord will go, that the word of the Lord will go out through the apostles effectively, as it was already doing through the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8 says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God is spread abroad. Friends, what a testimony that was for them. What a testimony it could be for us as well. I would like to suggest to you, certainly it's my prayer for us all as a church, that the word of the Lord would go from us effectively out to as many people as possible, that there will be a touching of many lives through us, through the word of the Lord. And friends, therefore, there will be hindrances, there will be obstacles, there will be temptations for that word to be dismissed, for there to be distractions to that word. So when Paul's saying, look, pray for us, he's actually implying, look, there are things you need to be praying about, because this won't just happen automatically. There are going to be challenges facing us. And friends, there are going to be challenges facing us. But I do believe that the Lord wants his word to run swiftly, unhindered, effectively from us. Not only in us, but out from us as well. So please be praying for that. The second thing is, he says that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. That is to say that the word of the Lord would be honoured. And again, implying in that, that there will be temptations or for the word to be dishonoured or for the word to be dismissed. And as we hear the word, we can easily do that ourselves. Are you one who is honouring the word of the Lord as it comes to you? Not only, of course, on a Sunday, but through the week as well. Honour the word of God. The word of God. And friends, we need to pray that the word of the Lord will not only run swiftly, but also that the word will be honoured and therefore received and acted on. I didn't mention, I should have done, just for your consideration as well, Psalm 147 and verse 15, it says, his word runs very swiftly. Isaiah 55 says that when the Lord gives his word, it accomplishes that for which he sends it. It prospers. Friends, the word of the Lord is able to do these things. But we need to get right behind that and pray that that will happen. So, two things here, two aims, if you like, for 2015. That the Lord would give his word through us and that it would be honoured. And then secondly, moving on to verse 2 rather, verse 2 it says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Not everybody has faith. I have to say, personally, I felt that the Lord was warning me that, as far as my own life is concerned, and this may not apply to anybody else here, in a sense I hope it doesn't, that I'm going to have to face people who are going to be coming into this category. But maybe as a church we need to be alert. There are people, it says here, who are unreasonable. That word means those who speak out of place, out of turn, those who are injurious, causing injury, and those who speak improperly. Friends, we need to just to be careful that we don't do that, of course, but also that there are those who may speak out of place. It may be that something of what they say is correct, but it's out of place and it's out of turn and it causes injury. So these are these unreasonable men and women, I hasten to add. And wicked men, literally malignant, those who are meaning harm. And then it says, not all men have faith. Why does the apostle say that? Is he saying not everybody is a believer? Well, I would think, I may be wrong, but I think that's not what he's saying. I mean, I would have thought that's a fairly obvious thing to say. I think what he's saying is that these people may appear to be believers. They may even be believers, but they're not acting in faith. And so, friends, really this is a warning to us, not only of the kind of thing that we may face, but it's also a warning to us not to be gullible. Just simply because somebody comes appearing to be a believer, somebody who perhaps appears to be a mature believer, doesn't mean to say that we need to drop our guard and accept everything that they say. Not everybody acts out of faith. So I think that's really something of the warning. And Paul is saying, look, pray for us that we won't be gullible. Pray for us that we won't be harmed by those who mean harm. Pray for us that we won't be on the receiving end of those who will make statements which are out of place and out of turn. Now, friends, having said all that, I think there is something of a pointer to us as well, an encouragement to us to make sure that we don't fall into this category, these categories. So that we will do things in a proper way and in a proper place. That we won't be malignant in how we handle things. That we will genuinely seek the good of other believers. And thirdly, that we will be those who act in faith. So whenever we feel that we need to say something or respond or react, let's go to the Lord and let's pray for the Lord's direction, that we may speak and act in faith. And secondly, that we may do it at the right place and in the right time. And thirdly, that we may do it with a right motive, seeking the good of the other and not just simply reacting in a wrong way. So that's a bit of a digression, but I think it's worth pointing it out. And then, this year, I think we need to remember certain things, and the apostle is reminding us. First of all, there is a reminder, please pray. These things will not just happen automatically. The word of God won't just go from us automatically. We need to pray that it will. We need to pray that we will be delivered from these kind of situations which we've been looking at in verse 2. We need to remember that no matter what this year holds for us, verse 3, that the Lord is faithful. Hallelujah. Not everybody acts in faith. Thank God he is faithful. He sticks with us. And that the Lord is able to establish us. Isn't that good? So despite the shaking and perhaps the opposition or the distractions or whatever, the Lord is able to establish us. Hallelujah. Yes, you're all very quiet. That should really encourage you. And more than that, the Lord is able to protect you from evil. Isn't that good? So having said, you know, you're going to have these situations of all these nasty people, he's not really saying that. He's just saying, look, this is what's going to happen. Let's be realistic. But the Lord is able to protect you from them. And thirdly, that the Lord is able to, well, I've said it, the Lord is able to establish you and to keep you. Oh, yes, verse 4. Remember, too, to go on obeying the Lord. Paul says to these Thessalonians, you've been doing the things which we have commanded you to do. Now, just make sure you go ahead and do them. And friends, looking at that, I just sense something of the apostles' great delight in these believers, really. That they were so faithful. He didn't have to speak to them as he spoke to the Corinthians and address issues of this, that and the other in detail. No, he said, and in a way, thank God he did have to address them, or else we wouldn't have had all the chapters in 1 Corinthians to teach us about all sorts of things. And that's one of the reasons why 2 Thessalonians is so short, because he didn't have these issues to deal with. But thank God, there was a real delight in the apostles' heart. And friends, I have to say, and I pass it on to you, make of it what you will, the Lord is delighted with you. The Lord is pleased with us. And he's just saying, look, just go on obeying me. Just go on following me. Just go on doing what I command you to do. Friends, isn't it marvellous that we can be a people that delight the Lord? We can be a people that bring the Lord pleasure. It's wonderful. And that really takes us on to verse 5. The Lord direct your hearts. And we looked at this. I suppose this is more of an individual thing rather than a matter for us as a church. But I'm going to, in some sense, repeat what I said on New Year's Eve when I shared this. God is concerned not so much for the detail of our lives, by which I mean, before I'm misunderstood, he's not a nitpicker. Yes, the Lord has got a work to do, and he needs to, certainly with me, to correct me on this, to improve me on that, etc. But essentially it's our heart attitude that the Lord is looking for. We don't always get things right, but the Lord is wanting our hearts to be set on him. Psalm 119 says, blessed are those who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. I think it's marvellous. If you're wholehearted, the Lord says, you can do nothing wrong. At least that's how he sees it. Of course we do something wrong, but it's not that he's picking us up on everything. It's that he wants our wholehearted love and devotion. And that's why he says, now the Lord direct your hearts. So it's the Lord's interest is in our hearts. And then he says, the Lord direct your hearts. Literally, that means to straighten you out, to straighten us out fully. there's a scripture, remember, that says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Friends, maybe in your hearts there is something of a desert, there's something of a wilderness. Well, the Lord wants to come and he wants to build a highway there. The Lord is able to deal with whatever obstacles he finds there. God is able to level out those things that aren't right and to direct your hearts aright. It's tremendous. Luke chapter 3 and verse 4. I don't think that's the correct verse, actually. It's the end of Luke 1. From memory, it says about the Lord is able to guide our feet into the way of peace. It's the same word that's translated here as direct. The Lord is able to guide us. Friends, as we come to a new year, the Lord is able to guide you. He's able to guide your feet into the way of peace. He's able to lead us. He's able to direct our hearts. Thank God for that. And then there are two things that it talks about here. Before I do, I was thinking about this. I don't know what you make of this. But it seems to me, anyway, there are three kinds of people when it comes to going from A to B. There are those who look at a map and say, well, I want to go there. And that's about as far as it goes. There are also those who say, well, in order to get from here to there, you look at a map, but actually I need to know the direction. So the first group of people are those who find out by looking at a map where they want to go, and then they work it out in great detail, looking at the A to Z or whatever they do. But the second group of people can't be bothered to do that. So what they do is they go onto a laptop and they go onto Google Maps or AA Route Planner and they get it all printed out for them, so that as you're going along the road, if you have somebody with you, you can have it all read out. And that's what I certainly, in a way, prefer to do. And then there's the kind of sat-nav person who, and I've noticed this certainly with members not of my immediate family, but the wider family, who haven't a clue where they're going. Not a clue. They have no idea where they're going, or in a sense, how they're going to get there. All they do is they press in the postcode on the sat-nav and they just go with it. The fact that it may be the longest distance or the shortest distance or the most difficult route or that there's a toll along the way is neither here nor there. They just trust the sat-nav. Well, friends, as far as the Christian life is concerned, of course, there are elements of all three. The Lord in his word shows us where we're going. Hallelujah. The Lord is coming back. He's going to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. Marvellous. The word of God also shows us how to get there. The things he's wanting to do in our lives. And we need to look at the word and find out the kind of things that the Lord is wanting to do in our lives. And you need to do that for this year. Go to the Lord and say, and we need to go to the Lord as a church. And that is why I'm suggesting that we have this week of prayer. When you say, now Lord, what is it that you've got in store for us for this year? And how are we going to get there? So if the Lord, let's say, wants us to use the premises a little bit more for certain things, well, Lord, how are we going to do that? But then there's the third way. And I suppose of the three, this little verse here in verse 5, I suppose what I'm saying about this is I'm posing the question, what is the Lord, what is the Apostle Paul saying? When he says the Lord direct your hearts, is he saying, now this is the goal that you're going to get to. This is the long-term goal. Is that what he's saying? I don't think it is. I think it's more the second category, second kind of person. He's saying, look, whatever the Lord's will for you is, make sure that this is the route you follow, that you are always in the love of God and in the patience of Christ. That's really what he's saying. But I did have a little bit of a laugh to myself, because it seems to me there's an element of the third, the sat-nav Christian, where basically you're saying, I don't know what this year is going to hold. I don't know. And in a sense, you may feel, I don't even care. Do you know, the marvellous thing is, whatever the Lord has for you, whatever route the Lord has for you this year, he is right alongside you, and he's able to say, turn right. He's able to say, This is how you should respond. I want you to, by turning right, you understand what I'm saying. This is how I want you to love me. You're going to need a bit of patience. This is how to do it. So the marvellous thing is you don't have to worry about what's going to happen in July or October or whatever. But just day by day, just allow the Lord to direct your hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting of Christ. You can even call the Lord Jehovah Tom Tom, the Lord my Satnav. The Lord is able to direct your hearts. Well, into two things. Into the love of God, first of all. What does that mean? It's very simple. It's really from verse 4. It's that the Lord would direct you into loving him, putting him first. Friends, too many of us live for ourselves, first of all. And the Lord is saying, just put me first. Seek my kingdom first. Be willing to say no to self. I have sent my son for you, that you should no longer live for yourselves, but for him who died and rose again for you. May the Lord straighten you out to do that. This is not some kind of mystical, you know, feeling that we have. It's the Lord straightening you, making sure that everything you do is geared to loving the Lord, to doing what he says and to pleasing him. And then it says, into the patience of Christ. And friends, there are so many applications of this, and you must just allow the Lord to help you with this. We are, all of us, in different contexts, going to need patience. Your version, if you're in a New American Standard kind of person, will read the steadfastness of Christ. And that's really a little bit more... That's a bit nearer the nub of what the word means. It literally means to remain under. It's to do with endurance. It's to do with constancy. And friends, we need to be those who are prepared to endure. There's an element of waiting that comes in here. I mean, those prayers that you prayed in 2014 that haven't got answered, don't worry about them. Don't look back. But let me tell you, you're going to have to wait patiently in 2015, or you could well be. And the Lord is interested in our hearts. You know, we can be patient, but patient in a wrong attitude. Do you know what I mean? There, you know, if you're catching a bus or waiting for a train to come, you have to wait. If it doesn't come, you've got no choice. But you can either wait patiently, or you can wait impatiently. So you're going to wait patiently for the Lord this year, or you're going to wait impatiently? May the Lord direct your hearts into the patience. And there's an element of waiting here. So I suppose really, when the scripture says in Romans 12 verse 12, be patient in tribulation. Whatever troubles, whatever testings come, we're going to need to endure. We're going to need to remain under the Lord in that situation. And don't try and run away from it. And see, even come to the point where we say, Lord, I'm willing to stay in this for as long as necessary. Be patient in tribulation. Romans 2 verse 7 talks about patient continuance in well-doing, seeking for honour, glory and immortality and eternal life. We need to be those who go on doing the right thing, whether anybody appreciates it or not. We're doing it for the Lord. It's his patience, into the patience of Christ. I hope that is clear. The Lord is able to bring us through. Really, to put it more colloquially, really what the Lord is saying is, now the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to be able to hang on in there. Well, maybe as a church we're going to need to do that. So I don't know whether all of this, some of it, none of it, is for you individually. I suspect that there's a little bit here that is certainly for us as a church. But let's be looking to the Lord for his direction, for his blessing in 2015. Let's be looking to the Lord to get us from A to B, to direct us along the right route. And you know, the marvellous thing about the Lord being our sat-nav is that if you go wrong, the Lord is able to redirect you again. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't always say you have to go back to the beginning again. The Lord is able to redirect us. Let's pray that the Lord will show us the route by which we have to go. And that he will bring us there. But that throughout all of this, our hearts will be kept in a right place with him. So that the things which we're looking at in verse 1 and 2 may actually happen. So I'm going to suggest that we stand, that we sing a hymn. During this time, Eric, Naomi, would you be very kind and just get the Sunday school and the children's groups back, please? Thank you.